Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make us all stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. Now, when we first started talking, you were just telling me a little bit about how, you know, you were, like, working, doing the work of two people, and some miracle just happened.
I wasn't doing the work of two people. I was doing the work of two departments.
Oh, okay.
Because I was doing real estate and compliance for my company. And when really, as far as real estate goes, all I'm supposed to be doing is, like, approving certain things. But I'm not actually supposed to be the one that is making the calls and doing the development of all these things, you know. So, you know, it's been, you know, at first, when I first got my job, it started out where I was doing, like, 75% of my compliance work and then only 25% of the real estate. And then things shifted a little bit and we started growing and growing and growing. And then it was 50-50. And now it's to the point where 90% of my day is placed doing my backup to my position. So it's for the last year I've been saying that I needed help and that I've needed, you know, people to come in, and they've been very, very slow to get me help. And finally, you know, and it's probably my fault too, and I know that you teach this lesson all the damn time, but what I wound up doing, and you see, you're laughing because you know what I'm about to say. So what wound up happening was, of course, I'm sitting here screaming, I need help, I need help, I need help, but I was managing and I was killing myself to stay managed so that my balls were staying in the air, you know, and then finally it took a ball to drop before somebody said, hey, what the hell's going on here, where I got the blame, and then everybody in the office got my back and went, oh, no, 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 no. And now they've agreed to get me the help that I've been asking for. And it took that very, very important ball to drop, and it took me not being superwoman, keeping it all together, for them to say, oh, yeah, she's right, she does need help. You know, so had I just done that before, and had I not gone, you know, to the lengths that I did to try to maintain the fact that I could do it by myself, I probably would have gotten help a lot sooner, I think.
Yeah, of course. And older souls don't like to ask for help. You know that. We don't like to ask for help.
No, well, so. I did. Well, I did. And, but it's very, very hard to make an argument that I need help, I need help, I need help, when you're managing everything and everything is appearing to be seamless. You know, and
right.
it took this situation, you know, where they were like, hey, well, why did this fall through? This should not have fallen through. And then it was like, well, this is why, dopey.
Well, and again, sometimes, you know, you're giving, you know, a good example, but what I have to warn my clients all the time is that, you know, older souls are donkey people. They do the work of 8 people, and they do it really well.
Oh, yeah.
But when it becomes the work of 16 people, which is kind of what corporate America wants, there's a lot of liability. And I will always cite client who was an emergency room doctor in upstate New York, and they used to have eight doctors on call, and then they only had 2. And, you know, they were in code black a lot almost every Saturday night, and I told them, you better put it in writing that one day you're not going to be able to cover this. It's just too many people, and you can't do it. And he had just put that in writing, and that Saturday night someone died when he was on watch. And not that he did anything wrong, but he couldn't get to the person. And funny enough, the hospital wanted to take his license from him and everything. And because he had written that
letter. Of course, they needed somebody to throw under the bus.
Yeah, and they were gonna. And, you know, because he had written that, you know, he went to New York State and they fined the hospital and they made them hire more doctors. But the point is, that's an extreme example of when we're doing too much work and it can't be done, we have to speak up. Because,
yep.
you know, the liability involved, the lawsuit, the making a mistake, and you can very, very easily make mistakes. So there is a point where, you know, we have to cry uncle. And, you know, I'm
mm-hmm.
no better at it. I'm self-employed. Nobody would work for me. Nobody would do it. They quit in about a week. They said, what, are you kidding me?
Oh, man.
It's like it's a slave job here, you know. Like, you don't even have dinner break half the time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, what kind of boss are you? So I'm a person who has to remind myself, okay, enough is enough. You know, I'm over my limit. And, you know, sometimes if you just get too over-fatigued, too tired, you can get hurt, you know. You can just get in an accident. You can just, you know, fall down the stairs, you know. You're just tired. So we're just, like, we're doing the work to the best of our ability, but if we need help, what is our answer? We ask for help. We say enough is enough. And
yep.
I'm glad that it worked out for you because you're such a good worker, and they would never want to get rid of you, by the way. You know
that. Oh, no. He was angry. You know, as a CEO would be, you know, because it was a fairly big deal. But what he liked more about that was that after he was angry and he saw the follow through, and literally within about, I'm going to say 2 hours, everything was completely taken care of already, you know. So, and he saw that I had the capability of doing it, that it wasn't just lack of initiative. It wasn't, you know, lack of caring, nor was it lack of ability. He physically saw that it took me to literally cancel calls and reroute people throughout the office in order to get this done for him. So he was just like, if she's got to go through that much trouble for this one issue, what else is she missing because she's got too many things to do? So he said immediately, I went from only getting an admin to getting a full-time position working underneath me at a non-entry-level salary. You know, so he gave me a budget to hire, you know, somebody to assist me part-time of about like $25,000 a year. And now that person, you know, that I'm going to have working under me is going to, you know, be making a considerably better salary because he wants to get somebody good in there to, like, really take the workload off. So it's cool because he showed his appreciation that way, you know, for what I was doing. He didn't, like, flip out completely. He was just like, you're doing too much. And the look on my face when they told me they were taking that responsibility off my plate. Everybody was expecting me to be a little bit of a control freak, you know, because I like things done my way. So, and everybody knows this about me, so that, you know, they literally went from, you know, from like, you know, telling me, like, they broke the news very, very lightly to me today. You know, my HR lady, she's like, well, you know, we were discussing it and Michael feels that you really should give up the real estate aspect of your job. And I literally looked at her with this look on my face, and I just went in the office loud for everybody around her to hear. Go, I went, yes. I'm like, when? And she was like, you're okay with this? I'm like, yes.
Wow. See?
So
good
I
response.
Was like all smiles. It was great. It was great.
Well, good. You made everybody's day. Now,
I was so happy.
That we had a lot of callers, and I see TJ
there.
So I'm going to pick up TJ, see what he has to say, and maybe you can screen one of these first callers.
Yeah, well, you keep them
and...
on there, but don't steal them before I put them back in the queue, because then I'm talking to myself, and I don't know that they're talking to you.
Okay, and then also let everybody know if they want to talk to us, what do they have to do?
If they want to talk to us, they need to press the number 1, Cindy, so that I get a lovely, lovely little alert. Now, Cindy, just before I duck out and before you grab TJ, is there anybody on the line from last week that did not get to talk last week that maybe I should screen first?
Okay, now.
You see anybody there?
Stacy was supposed to call back, but she didn't call, so I don't see her number. So you can just screen.
All right, so I'm
going to
screen away. So you give your husband my love. I'm going into the chat room, guys.
Okay, we'll meet back in a minute.
You got it.
Hi, TJ. You're live on the air. I see that you went swimming today. I just, you know, saw that in the email. I'm very envious.
I tested the water for you on Saturday, and Todd and I are presently in the middle of Gardner's Bay, just cruising along and sailing. I love you, and I hope you have a really good show, and I know the people are waiting, and I'll bring home a little surprise for you to snack on after your evening. So
So let me know that the water was warm, is what you're telling me.
That's right. And God bless you, and have a good show, and we'll be listening.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in. I'll see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, so we got to hear from TJ, and I know that my wonderful co-host, Nicole, is working on screening people, and that's always her hard job, and she likes to let me know what's going on. By the way, I had a very interesting experience with one of my clients today, and he had read Grant Me a Higher Love a few years back, and today let me know that he did find his higher love. So I want people to know, if you say, grant me a higher love, you're going to be granted a higher love. And anyway, I see Claudia. Okay, she's from New York. Okay, Nicole, do you want to fill me in with Claudia, please? Because you're usually the one that could fill this in. She's from New York. She's upstate. Okay, the update. She's seeing a guy who got wishy-washy popping up again. Okay. Now, Nicole, I'm going to try to pick this one up. I don't know if you're still in the chat room with her, but I'm going to get her.
So I blocked him, you know. All I want to know is, like, is he going to leave me alone, you know, and
Cindy. You just did it again.
Yeah, and just...
Yep, I hear
you. Well, hold on, Claudia, because Cindy stole you in the middle of our conversation.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway...
You did it again, Cindy.
All right. Well, you can just fill me in with Claudia, because...
All right. Well, this is Claudia, and Claudia is calling back with an update. If, for those of you who don't remember, Claudia had a couple of situations with a few guys that she was seeing. This is the wishy-washy guy that was, like, cool, and then he wasn't cool, and then he was cool again, and he wasn't cool, and guess what? She cut ties, he's popping up again, and he's being funky. So now Claudia is going to continue her story, and I'm going to go back into the chat room to get our next caller.
Okay, good. Okay, Claudia, so he's popping back, which I'm not surprised, because you're a good catch. Who wouldn't want to pop back?
Tell her the Facebook story, Claudia, because she missed that part. Tell her the Facebook.
What happened was last Friday, he friend requested me on Facebook, and I accepted. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. But then I thought about it, and I was like, why is he friend requesting me when he has my phone number? You know, like, he could have just called me or texted me, right? So then
right.
I told him, I think it was like yesterday, I sent him a message, and I said, listen, I can't keep you on my list of friends, because I don't keep in contact with people that I have dated. Like, once it's over, you know, and I want to move on. And I was like, if you want to talk to me, you have my number. And then, like, 15 minutes later, I get a message saying, hey, I'll call you later. And he never did. So I blocked him this morning on my phone, because I really don't want to, you know, I feel like this is just a bunch of games, and it's just silly, and I just want to know if he's going to leave me, like, if he's going to leave me alone. And the other thing, I just was calling also for, like, a general reading.
Okay, yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to leave you alone. He will kind of pop up, but you handled it properly, and what you're going to do is now just ignore him.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, you don't owe him any explanations now. You made it plain and clear. I heard the message. If he doesn't want to hear the message the way you describe it, that's his problem.
Okay.
But you certainly made it clear to him. And, you know, these men are doing this stuff. They want their cake and eat it too. Okay?
Uh-huh.
They don't want a relationship, but they want to make sure they still have us in case they still want us, in case we're still there. So I think what you did is karmically very correct. It's putting out the energy to men saying, you know, they can't come and go as they please. I think more women, if they would do it, the message would get out there clearer. So, you know, that's very good karma for you that you've done that. And now that you've closed the door on him, the universe can begin to open up another relationship for you, another soulmate. And it looks like it's a little time, you know, to bring him in alignment with you. So don't get impatient. But are you planning on doing anything to find somebody? Do you have, like, a little plan going on?
Honestly, like, right now, the only plan that I have is kind of, like, just, like, working on me and, you know, working on my goals. I'm kind of putting off dating for now, you know, like for a little bit.
I think you just need that little time to, you know, figure out where you're going. You might want to expand your friendships a little bit, which means maybe trying to find some new friends, new girlfriends, signing up for like a yoga class or something where you could meet some more people. Because that will help you bring in alignment with this new guy that that's going to be coming. It's also, career-wise, looks better here. Are you happy with what you're doing? Because this looks like a better year career-wise for you. So I hope you're concentrating on your career a little bit.
I'm not, like, right now I'm not happy where I am. I'm kind of trying to see if I can go somewhere else. I work at a school. I'm kind of looking to see if I could switch schools.
That's what you want to concentrate on. You want to concentrate on, let's get my career where I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because once your career gets where you want to be, that could also lead you to this person, by the way. So
mm-hmm.
when you're trying to shake up career and looking for love at the same time, there are both things connected.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing is actually some major, major changes coming up, but good changes. So it looks like you should be able to switch schools, by the way. So
that's great.
Don't put it off have you started already doing it?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Good, because that's a good change for you. I think you really needed to slam the door on this guy, though, by the way, because it's sort of been holding the universe from bringing you somebody else, because, you know, you had a strong connection with him, and they
mm-hmm.
had to give him a certain amount of time to see if he would step up to the plate and
mm-hmm.
do what he was supposed to do. But now mm-hmm. they've registered, he's not stepping up to the plate. We're closing that door.
Mm-hmm.
And so that door's closed. Career-wise, looks much better with that. I think you're going to be happier in the new school, by the way.
That's great.
You have a very good 5-year period opening up. Pretty much anything you want is yours.
Okay.
So, visualizing where you want to be and focusing on that. So, again, focus on your career. Focus on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Try to be a lover to yourself a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
it's not easy for women to stand on their own 2 feet without a man. So I'm glad that you're trying it. It is a little bit scary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard because I think sometimes I get a little lonely or, you know, just a little like I wish sometimes, you know, I had help or whatever. But when they start playing these games, like, I'm going to call you and then not call, like, that to me is just, like, I get very turned off. So,
okay, and you should, because, and you should get very turned off.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is not something you want to wait around for a man to make up his mind. Does he want you, doesn't want you? I mean, mixed messages make you crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also... Yeah. These are cowards. You say you're going to call. Don't say you're going to call if you're not going to call. And, you know, I think he really intended to call, by the way. And
yes.
It wasn't like he's, you know, it wasn't like, but then he gets like that commitment phobia and he gets scared and then he backs away. So, you know, these are just stupid game playing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can understand why, you know, you've had enough of the game playing, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad you're a little bit lonely. I will tell you why. Because loneliness makes it so that you really do want a relationship. I don't want you to get so comfortable alone that now you think you don't need anybody. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, these are good things, what you're feeling. But, you know, I'm glad that you're finally, you know, giving that message to men that I'm tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that's the most important thing. We don't want to keep having these people... I think they can come and go as they please. It's
mm-hmm.
It's really not healthy. It really isn't
mm-hmm.
healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you'll call in again and let us know what's happening, but focus on your career just a little bit.
Okay.
And thanks for checking in on us and letting us know that you closed the door today. That's the happiest news I heard all day, by the way.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
I don't want him to keep playing with my feelings. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
No. So.
Of course not. Of course not. So, you know, good luck to you, and don't forget we're here.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Oh. Boy, those commitment phobics, Nicole. I mean, they, like, they're everywhere, aren't they?
Well, what was kind of funny, too, is that when Claudia and I were chatting in the chat room, you know, she's like, you know, any friend requested me on Facebook, and I didn't think anything of it. And my first words were, girl, he's being nosy.
Right, because they don't have to call
us. He wants to see what you're doing and who you're doing it with.
And
you know,
then
he could have found out what the hell you were doing. Yeah, he was just Facebook stalking you. That's
right,
why his social media, and that's why I can't stand when people air their dirty laundry on social media. You know, you want to use social media, you want to post a couple pictures, that's fine. When you start, you know, putting your entire life, like you're one of the friggin' Kardashians on social media, you know, to be this kind of, you know, faux sort of celebrity in your own mind, you got issues. You know,
right,
you're just opening yourself up to this stuff.
And it's funny because with social media, by the way, it's why people don't have to call us to find out what we're doing. Because they stalk and find out. So I would tell them, do not put your status, not put everything
there. For less personal relationships.
They want to find out
what
you're up to, they got to call you.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm adamantly, you know, about that, you know, don't, and again, you're right. Because sometimes people put the stupidest stuff who they're fighting with. Oh, this person said, we don't want to hear about your personal fights on Facebook.
Exactly.
You know,
there is
like,
a place for your laundry, people. It's called the hamper.
Yep, exactly. And not Facebook. And, you know, and also people can come back to haunt you job hunting and everything else, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, I can tell you right now that I personally have blocked and fired people for what goes on Facebook. Because we were in a situation at work where we had hired somebody, or rather we had assisted in hiring of somebody for one of our locations, and he was supposed to attend a training, and I found out that he was not going to attend the training because he had the flu. And then all of a sudden on my news feed, because he forgot he was friends with me on Facebook, I see that he's checking into some bar in Florida, in Miami. I'm like, yeah, he must be some flu that he had to go to Miami for that warm weather to kind of dry up that cough, I guess. You know, the alcohol, he's going to the bar, I guess, because he needs the alcohol to kill the germ, you know, and he lost the job.
And did you call him on this?
Oh, hell yes. I called his boss and I said, listen, I just want you to know that he's supposed to be in my training class right now. And he's not. And then his boss turns around and goes, oh, yeah, no, that's because he had the flu. I'm sorry. And I said, no, I said, hey, if he had the flu, I said, that's one thing. I said, but he's not getting a doctor's note unless that doctor is in Miami. And I forwarded him, his boss, the screenshot. And he was like, okay. You know, so, yeah, so it's terrible. You got to watch what you do. You got to watch what you say. You know, it's like there's Facebook is cool for, you know, you want to be inspirational, go for it. You want to put up some funny things and make people laugh, go for it. You want to keep for posterity your vacation pics and stuff like that. You got a couple of pictures of you and your friends that are nice and you want to keep them up there, go for it. But the moment you start putting in your personal business, that's not a place for your it's social media. Your personal does not belong social.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because we just got to remind people of this stuff, don't you think?
It's terrible that we have to.
just remind them.
Terrible that I even have to say it.
I know. I try. You know, we try to make it fun and inspirational. That's what I try to do. And, you know, comment on people's things, give them positive feedback. But, you know, really, sometimes people are just ranting and raving on there. And I love who's breaking up,
who's cheating, who's doing this. It's terrible.
Too much. And I love the GoFundMes when people are saying you have to fund them for something, and then, like, a month later, you see they're in the Bahamas. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, really? You just said you didn't have money for your dog, and we all sent money for the dog, and now you're in the Bahamas, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I always look into those things. I always look into those things a little bit extra, you know. Like, I don't mind donating and I don't mind helping out. You know, I mean, I had a GoFundMe going when my sister-in-law's house burned down and everything else,
legitimate.
You know. But it was legitimate and it was substantiated, you know. I mean, and here's what's terrible is that, and GoFundMe is a very, very dangerous thing for people because people's first reaction is, oh, you know what, we'll start a GoFundMe. You know, like that's their immediate reaction to things whenever people can't afford something, whenever life gets a little too hard. And what's amazing about this is that some of these people do this as a job. You know, they personally start these crusades for whatever, and it's false. It's counterfeit. So it's really, really, it's deceiving the people that created GoFundMe who really generally did it because they wanted to have a positive impact on people. And just like panhandling has become, this is now a cyber way of panhandling to some people. So you have to be careful with whose GoFundMes and where you're getting it from and this and that. I mean, for Christ's sake, somebody started a GoFundMe for Kanye West. And in like an hour, they raised like 10 grand. For Kanye West, like, really? Really? You think Kanye's getting that money? Really? People are so stupid. Like, for real.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because it's one of the things that's my little pet peeve, too. You know, if you got a legitimate thing, we'll fund you. But please don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not for every stupid thing because, you know, it gets to be exploiting of people. And, you know,
oh, completely.
Really.
But it's weird, though, because it's like literally this guy puts his name on this. Do you think, like, honestly, people, do you think that this guy, okay, actually knows Kanye West? Like, 300,000 people shared this, okay? And, like, I don't think that any – that like, I think that it's obviously stopped since then, or GoFundMe stopped it. But literally it was like – In I think it was about a month, maybe 2 months, they raised about $10,000 and the goal was $53 million.
Wow.
And I'm like, and the weird thing is that you don't know if the money has been withdrawn. You know what I'm saying? You don't know if that money's been withdrawn. So people are going there and they're seeing money and guess what? They're continuing to donate, you know, if it's not already taken down. I mean, do you think this kid knows Kanye?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Like, It's like, open your eyes, people. Like use your brain.
Wow. Well, we're here to, like, kind of remind people that there's a lot of scam artists out there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the biggest cyber panhandling that I've ever seen. Let's raise money for Kanye West. Yeah, really, guys. I'm going to give it to him. Okay. Good luck with that.
Well, now what we're going to do is Lana. She's one of my clients from Florida, I believe, and you might tell me what's up with her.
Yes, Cindy. Well, Lana needs a little bit of guidance. She needs a little bit of clarity. Obviously, she's been to you in person, and she's also called into our radio show before. But she's got a job opportunity through a family member. It's nothing that's confirmed yet, but you know, she's got a little bit of. You know, she's got some questions. She's got some undetermined things that she still needs to figure out. So she's hoping that you could provide some clarity on those things that she's that she's cloudy about. All right.
Okay.
So here is Lana. Hello, Lana. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Lana. How's everything in Florida?
Oh, pretty good. We're
pretty
doing
good.
Okay.
Your
yeah,
daughter's been doing great.
You.
Your daughter's been really doing great. We're happy for her.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
good.
Of course, you know, since I have you on the radio, you know your husband would have to say hello to you from the other side, you know.
Okay,
he's not,
hi.
He's like, wow, she's called in, I'm on the radio. He's very funny tonight, but he had to be dead to get on the radio. He has just a great sense of humor, by the way.
Yeah,
and
he really does.
I mean, he's a funny man, and you know, he wants you to know he's been watching over your daughter like a hawk and helping her in every way that he can. So, now you're concerned about your career. I know your art career, is that what it is?
No,
or?
It's not my art career. I'm not really doing a lot with that any longer. I've had enough of that. I still love it, but I don't want to spend those hours. It's just a job to make make extra money and secure my future, so to speak. I have a possible job opportunity with a family member. For a family member, and it's been going back and forth now since the springtime, and it means a move. I don't know if it's permanent, and I don't know if the opportunity is concrete either. There's a couple of things that have happened with work down here in Florida, and it's kind of like three different things going on, and I'm not really sure what's happening or let's just stay where I am, doing what I'm doing, and stick it out with my, you know, with my lifestyle here.
Well, you're not totally happy with what you're doing, obviously. So
well,
to stay
I'm not.
With it.
No, I don't like to travel. It's a good job. It's a part-time job, but I'm not crazy about the travel. We had some mix-ups, not through any fault of my own, but that's been straightened out now, and I'm in a different office, and now I have to travel quite a bit.
And that's not going to change. What I'm seeing is you're going to have to be traveling with this job. I mean,
really?
they're not going to change that. Okay, so. You know, either
okay,
you're going to accept
that's
that.
That's the job that I have now. Yeah.
Right, that's not going to change. So
mm-hmm.
if you can get used to the travel, I mean, it looks solid. They're not going to get rid of you, you know, so.
No, I think you're correct there. If I want to stay there, I think you're correct.
But but I can see the opportunities. You got a very good 5-year period opening up here. So it's kind of pretty much what you want to be doing. Before you would leave this job, I would get some, you know, much more concrete information on the other opportunities, by the way, to be sure that, you know, they're going to pan out and do what they
think. Are you talking about opportunities with the family member? That
yeah.
position?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
and
know,
then there's another possibility also here close to home.
I mean, that one looks like you should check it out soon, by the way.
Okay.
And follow up the lead on that one, because that one looks really pretty promising, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure if they're going to want to pay you the amount you want, so you got to find out all that, too, you know, money-wise.
Right.
So, because it looks like, you know, don't take it if they promise you things 6 months from now. Do you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times that's the prince that becomes the beast financially, the kind of telling us what we want to hear.
What you're saying, yeah.
And then later on we begin to realize, it's not what we thought. So just make sure if you get something, you kind of get it in writing, because it looks a little bit like that job may say, oh, let's see how it works out. Let's start with this. And then, you know, they're trying to tell you everything that's going to be great a year from now. And it may not be. So just check out it, you know, just carefully and, you know, get it up front, what you're supposed to be getting. And
right.
Not
well, this is something I would be very interested in, because it's close to home. It's more hours, and I honestly don't think I want to stay there for years either. I just don't think I want to work that long.
Well, I see, you know, you're probably going to have to work at least another 2 or 3 years, by the way, according to your husband, you know, who's watching over your money. So, you know, what do you want to be doing for the next year or two of your life is pretty much what you're being asked. And
well, make money.
Right. And so, you know, it looks like you will be more hours. Just be sure that they're going to pay you what's good and makes it worth your time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the family member, where is that supposed to be? Where is that job supposed to be? How far from you is that one?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. And so that would mean you moving from Florida to Pennsylvania?
Yes. I don't know if it would be permanent, but it would definitely be for maybe 6 to 8 months initially.
Okay. And you're going to keep your place in Florida too?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, and
I have a place to live up there.
Right, and I mean, that looks okay. Just make sure you make a money that makes it worthwhile for you to do this.
Mhm.
And you know, your husband's saying, you know, you're going to be in. Looks a little bit lonely for you there, by the way.
Hmm. Yeah, probably will be. You know. I understand that, but the purpose is to make money, so I don't really have to continue working so long.
Okay, and you know, just get it in writing, the money, you know, that is going to be there. And, you know, your husband says you'd be okay in Pennsylvania. You could probably make some decent money. that's a short-term solution. I mean, you just want to, because it looks like you really have to work a few more years, by the way. So, you know, maybe two more years.
It's my brother. I wouldn't get anything in writing. I trust him.
Okay, good. You know, if you're going to do 8 months, is he going to give you enough that you won't have to work anymore after that? Because your husband still thinks you're going to have to work something after that. So if you leave this job, you
have
now.
I work something out with him. I think he sort of wants to put me in charge of the operation if anything happens to him. I think that's the goal.
Okay. So, you know, you could do that. Again, it looks like, you know, maybe he'll be able to continue to do some sort of work for him. But your husband's just saying, you know, it's better than the one. It looks like a better opportunity than what you have right now, but you're probably going to still have to do something even after your brother for a while. It's money wise, so
really,
you know. So just your husband saying, do it. Maybe he can keep you on a little bit part time or from Florida. I don't know if there's anything he can do from there.
I don't know.
But, you know, your husband's just saying, you know, again, go there, but it does look like you probably have something else again afterwards. So,
I don't have any objection to doing something part time, but I don't want to do the weekend thing anymore.
No, and again, you know, your husband likes your brother. I guess they knew each other on Earth because he says he likes him. And
yeah, he's a good guy.
And you know, it's good for you to make some money. He just doesn't want you to be there and be so lonely. You know,
maybe I meet somebody.
He says, okay, then you'll stay in Pennsylvania. Is that your dream place? Your husband's laughing. He never could. He says, I can't picture you in Pennsylvania full time. It's not a bad opportunity. It's just, you know, it's not the answer to everything, but it is a little bit more money for you. You know,
right. And I think maybe the one down here, close to home, if it works out, I think that might be a good deal for me. If that comes to pass, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm just seeing that you may find yourself staying local. Kind of looks almost like you might stay local. That's, you know, just
I do have a life down here, and. You know, I don't know where my love life is going, but that's another story.
Okay, it's not that you don't meet men. We were talking about the commitment issues with the men, and, you know,
I meet men, either they're afraid of commitment or they're too aggressive.
Right, or they want too much. So,
right, exactly.
But, you know, your husband says, you know, he says, you know, try the Pennsylvania if you want, but he would prefer you stayed put a little bit because you just might find it pretty upsetting to be so far away from your life here. You kind of have a life here. And
I do.
And again, if this other job more local looks like it's pretty good for a year or two, you know, that's a good bet for you too. Hmm. You know, you're definitely getting a different job though. You're not staying where you are for much longer.
Really?
So, yeah.
Wow.
It looks like you're the one who's going to decide, I don't want it anymore. So, it's kind of the days are numbered. What's your birthday? Just the month and the day, by the way?
November 5th.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be in that job probably starting with your birthday year in November. I mean, it's like to be over with before then. So,
right. That's interesting.
Your husband says, you know, try to go pretty much the local one first because that looks like it could be a good deal if you just make sure you know what you're getting into.
Yes.
Okay. You know, don't say yeah, sure to them. You know what I mean? Now people keep promising you stuff. They want
you, so you can negotiate more
when people want you. After they've got you, it's much harder to negotiate.
Yes, and they're good at that down here in Florida.
You know, it's funny. You've been there long enough. Your daughter's learned that too, by the way.
Oh, my God.
The bait and the switch,
I certainly hope so.
Oh, yeah, she's learned.
Promise the world, and then all of a sudden you're, like, stuck.
Right, and that's why I said don't, you know, make sure you get what you're supposed to be getting before. And if you go there with your brother, you'll do okay money-wise. It just may be something you're not going to want to stay there more than 6 months or so.
Yeah,
you might start getting antsy.
Yeah. One question. I have someone that has popped into my life from the past. I don't know if you remember him. He's from Long Island. And
where does he live now?
He still lives in Long Island.
Okay, so you want to do the long distance thing?
No. He was down here for a while, and then he went back, actually sent him back to finish up some stuff. And we're talking about maybe getting back together for a long term.
Okay, and who's moving where?
Well, he would have to move here. I won't move up there.
Good. And, you know, he looks pretty serious about it. He, you know, he misses you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you just have to be a little... He misses you and you miss him. I mean, you just want to make sure that, you know, the issues that were there in the past aren't still there.
The emotional issues or the health
issues? Yeah, the emotional issues. You know, cause,
right.
And he does have a couple of health issues. You know about that.
Yes, I know he does, yeah.
And, you know, it looks to me like maybe he wants... Your husband goes, this is your husband, not me. Kill him, okay? He's saying he may want somebody to take care of him. And
mm-hmm.
Think about that.
I have. That's why he's not here right now.
Right. You know, think about that.
I've been thinking about it.
Because he's, you know, he does have substantial health issues. He doesn't always do what he's supposed to be doing with those health issues either. So that doesn't make
him
any better.
When he's with me, he's much better.
Right.
That's for sure. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You can't predict the future.
Right. And, you know, if you love him, then, you know, you take the good, bad, and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of these things are going to make you, you know, your husband's saying if you're making these plans, you got to make them. If he's coming, then you're not going to go to Pennsylvania.
True. More or less, where everything's up in the air, not unless he's going to go there with me for a while. Also.
And, well, those are things your husband's saying maybe you should discuss with him, by the way.
Right. Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, ask him. Your husband's saying, what husband said to me, you don't discuss this with the psychic, you discuss it with the man, okay? You know, your husband's very matter of fact.
Very practical. Thanks, Tony.
He's very practical over here. But discuss it with him because maybe, you know, him, you know, staying with you in Pennsylvania for a little while would help with that loneliness issue. And maybe that would be the perfect solution.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And then it would also be like a sort of a testing, you know, 6 to 8 months with him. Maybe by the time that's up in Pennsylvania, you won't be able to stand him and you don't want him in Florida.
Mm.
I think your husband says that's the best of both worlds to try, by the way.
Huh.
So
interesting. Yeah.
So call in and let us know what you decide, by the way.
Okay, Cindy, I will.
Thank you so much.
Great.
I always love to hear
you.
From you. You know you're always one of my favorites.
Oh,
I've known
you
so long, it's like
It is. I wish I could get up to Long Island to see you in person. You're so much. You're so great. You know.
Oh, thank you so much, and good luck with your new job ventures, by the way.
Oh well, thanks. Thanks for some direction. I appreciate
okay.
it.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Now, isn't it funny, Nicole? Because I always do tell people that we have to discuss things with the people, not with the psychic. It's one of my things, you know, like people come for readings asking me questions that they really shouldn't be asking me sometimes. They should be asking the person directly, you know, and it's one of the things about psychic things. It's like God will say to me, you know, they're not supposed to be asking you. You're not going to give you this answer. They're supposed to be asking the person. You don't ask. If you can ask an earth person something, don't ask a psychic, you know, like. And if you have to continually consult with psychics to know about your relationship, it's really in trouble. You know, I noticed since you've been with Lisa, once you guys actually committed and made it work, you've never asked me one question about Lisa. You know, it's like
I don't have to. I asked my wife.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You know,
I was talking to one of the girls at work about this because, you know, she's younger than me. She's 25. you know, and she's constantly, you know, getting head over heels, and then all of a sudden she's like, oh, no, he's crazy. Oh, no, he's clingy. Oh, no, you know, and it's like, and I see this pattern with her, and I'm like, you know what, Sarita? I'm like, there's a pattern here. I said, and you know what the common denominator is? And she's like, yeah, they're crazy. And I'm like, no. I'm like, not that. I'm like, the fact of the matter is that you're putting out there that you want something, then when they give it to you, you decide you don't want it anymore. I said, and you're perceiving that as them being crazy and too pushy too early on. Meanwhile, that's what you're putting out there. I said, everybody can't have the same exact problem, you know? And then she's like, I guess you're right. And I said, why don't you speak to these people? Why don't you talk to them about these things? What, you don't think that it's too early? I'm like, no, it's not too early. To say how you feel, to say, hey, listen, I want to take things slow. I do want a relationship in the long term, but I want to take it slow so I don't freak out. I said, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
Right, exactly.
You know, but people are so used to, like, she'll ask me, she'll ask the other girls, what should I do, what should I do? He's getting clingy, what should I do? You're asking everybody but the person that could do anything about it.
Right, exactly. And that's like, you know, my expression is talk about the pink elephant in the room, okay? Talk about it. It's sitting in right in front of the two of you. Discuss it. And, you know, and it's continually, I have clients that continually come asking the same questions to me, and I'm like, really, you've got to ask the person. And, you know,
free
and they
will.
Just don't
There's
want to.
Called
they get
free
afraid.
Will.
They're almost afraid to hear the answer is what I believe, okay?
Yeah,
you know, they're afraid
I believe
to come
that,
right
yeah.
out and ask him, is this going anywhere? Because he might say no. You
well,
know,
but,
like, they don't want to hear the truth, but, to, you know, the truth is invaluable. You're better off to hear the truth. Let it be said.
Well, the whole
you know?
Thing is, why wouldn't you want to hear the truth?
Do
you really
you
want
to
waste
something
your
about
time?
It.
It's wasting your time. Yes, and then you have to do something about it. So failure to act now means that you're going to be sitting there regretting the time that you missed later.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's funny because I was doing a psychic party last night, and afterwards one of the women didn't get a reading, but I had read her about a year ago. And she was saying to me, everything you said about my husband was true, that he was hooked on porn, that he was going to massage balls, everything. And I wanted to kill her when she said this. But when I told him about it after the reading, I go, really, you told him what I said, huh? I'm lucky I'm alive, I said to her. You know, you're not supposed to tell people what I say, especially those people, because they'll come and kill me. So I'm like, and I got this feeling, God, what I do for a living can be dangerous when people are stupid. Okay, so anyway, she said, and he denied it, and I wanted to stay in denial for about 6 months. And, you know, of course, and I was pretending it didn't happen, and then I actually did some checking up, and, of course, I found out he was spending a fortune on massage parlors and all this stuff that was horrible, she
oh,
found
boy.
Out.
Oh, boy.
But, and I was like, well, why would I tell you if it's not true? But you were not supposed to go tell him. I told you, you were supposed to go do your homework and find out. Not say
yes.
the psychic told you, okay? And meanwhile, when I tell people stuff, if they don't want to hear it, they just pretend they don't hear it for 6 months. But I'm, you know, I'm here to not as the angel of death, but as a preventer. I'm trying to stop people from getting AIDS with this stuff. And this is not good when this is going on. But imagine they just don't want to hear it for 6 months. So then, don't go to us. Don't hear truth if you don't ask me questions. If you don't want truth, don't ask other people if you don't want truth. But when you hear truth, you have to do something. You have to actually change your life. You actually have to take action. So when you just sit around talking to a therapist.
Well, the whole thing there is that you become responsible then.
Right, and that you take, you're accountable and responsible for you. And, you know, that's something that, you know, people have to really realize. They sometimes just don't want to know the truth.
Yeah,
and
they're missing a key piece there, though. While they're ignorant, if somebody is wronging them and they genuinely don't know, then the culpability of what's happening to them is on the other person, okay? Once you start asking the questions, once you start seeking truth, once you think you want to know the truth, the moment you withdraw from that and ignore the fact, you are now no longer the victim in somebody else's ruse. You are now the volunteer.
Exactly.
Because you know what you have to do, and you are now failing to act.
Exactly. And that's what we stress here. You know, it's you, you know, grown-ups can't be victims, children can. We got to get there and face it. You know, of course, facing it is something nobody wants to do, by the way. They just really don't want to face things sometimes, people. And, you know, we're here always telling people, please, 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 face what you need to face, do what you got to do, and take action. But, again, I'm just telling people, if I tell you something, please don't go running telling somebody who might come kill me. Thank you very much.
Seriously, right?
I mean, is that not you know, just a riot when you hear stuff like that?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, it just amazes me. I'm like, really?
People have gotten killed for less.
I know. And I'm like, no, of course he's not going to admit what he's doing. You know, you were supposed to hear this and then find out your own proof. And show him proof, you know? I wouldn't believe, if somebody told me something, that if a psychic told me something, I wouldn't necessarily believe it without checking. I would check first before I confronted somebody. I would check and see if I could find the proof too. I mean, look, find. But it was just crazy. I mean, I was like, so another 6 months you stuck by there. You're lucky you didn't catch something really bad. Let me tell you,
seriously.
By the grace of God, you were lucky. And, you know, these are things, but I do remind people, when we tell you stuff, it's for you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we do have Jen. We want to take her. I think she's called in before. And
Yes. Jed actually has called in before. And my Blog Talk Radio right now, Cindy, is going a little bit wonky, so you might have to actually activate Jen's mic for me. But she had
okay.
a couple of different questions for you from... And yeah, I'm going on memory right now because I can't even see my screen right now. But I know that she had a career question. And I know that her third question was that somebody close to her recently lost somebody. And she wanted to see if you can pick up anything from that person who's recently passed or her friend. And then the next thing was that she has a couple of family things happening right now. And she kind of wants to see what you're picking up about her family dynamic from both the people that are with us on Earth as well as the people that have passed. So Jen is a very, very multi she's got a lot of things going on right now, Cindy, so hopefully you'll be able to pick up some good stuff for her.
Okay, thanks. That was a pretty good summary, and I'll try to pick her up now.
I did good on that, right? That's memory, too, because I can't see anything.
You're smart. Okay, you're very smart. Hi, Jen, you're live and on the air. How are you today?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good, and... you know, I know with your family dynamics, sometimes it's like, it is what it is. Are you beginning to realize that already?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That, you know, if funny enough, because from the other side, they go, and Jen, do you think they're going to change? Because they're not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Have you figured that out?
Yes.
And, you know, did you get what you were supposed to get from your relative? There was something you were supposed to be getting? I'm not
not all of it, no.
Okay. And you know the dead don't rest in peace when people don't get what they're supposed to get.
Yeah.
But at this point, are you going to let it go or are you going to fight for it?
Let it go.
Thank you, because your mom is saying let it go, by the way.
Yeah.
It's time to let it go. It isn't just simply isn't worth it. And do you want her to rest in peace, by the way?
Oh, of course.
Okay, because she's saying, please, let that be. But what it does is it shows you people's colors, and maybe it's going to make the rest of your life easier.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to feel like you're a brother's keeper or anybody's keeper, and you can just move on.
Right.
And that's what she wants for you. Now, with your friend lost a son, is that what it is?
No.
Okay, because just lost someone, is that...
it's a different person than the last time I called.
Oh, okay. That's okay. All right, good. I'm glad you remember. Now, with your friend, have you been trying to comfort her with this, by the way?
Yes.
And did she expect this? Because it looks like it was, you know, something happened really quick, and I don't know if she really expected this fully.
It did happen quick, but it wasn't sudden, per se.
Okay, and sometimes, you know, when things are like a prolonged illness and then someone dies, it still feels that, like, oh, my God, it's here now.
Right.
But the person seems pretty settled, by the way.
Okay.
There was a lot of pain involved. You know about that, physical pain.
Okay.
So now that seems a little bit better. She's crying a lot and I think she did everything she could, by the way. Do you tell your friend that?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, there was nothing else that could have been done. And, you know, has she gotten any signs from this person, by the way, at all?
Not that I know of.
This is very, 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 very recent, though?
Yes, it is.
Like how recent?
Within a month or two.
Okay. Because sometimes when people are recently dead, they're a little harder to talk to. It's usually a minimum of 3 months that I prefer.
Yeah.
Because they don't always... they don't always transition. This person seems to trying to be in peace, but there are some things on earth that are still troubling
right.
the soul. So, I mean, maybe you know what they are, but
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if it's the same type of family dynamics or whatever, but it looks like the soul would be a lot more peaceful probably in a few months, by the way.
And what about my in-laws?
And what about them?
I don't know. You tell me.
Okay. Do you expect a miracle here?
No.
Okay. And it's funny because your mom's laughing from the other side. She's like, this is when they don't miss life, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't miss life. And how often do you see your in-laws?
Not at the moment.
Okay, good. And your mother's saying, notice how, you know, you're starting to cut people out?
Yeah.
At this point, and, you know, you could use a little break from all the drama because, you know,
right.
normally when you're calling in, there seems to be a lot of family drama here and
yeah.
drama. And your mom says, why don't you concentrate on your career? Your in-laws seem to see things their way. They're pretty unfixable. I don't know if you know that. They're
yeah.
narcissists who judge others, both
yeah.
of them. And, you know, they think you're 1,000% wrong, Jen, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, maybe 1,010% wrong.
Yeah, I know.
So how are you going to make unfixable see what they don't want to see because they have a very self-serving lens?
Right.
I think your children might be upset by this. Do you know about that?
Mm.
Do they like these people?
They're both under two.
Okay. And I just think, you know, in the future they may miss that they're not going to have any they're not going to have those grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want them not to have any grandparents? And I know they're pretty unfixable, these people, but it's one of the things that...
No, it's not at all, but, you know, there are certain boundaries that need to be respected in order for, you know, us to move forward.
And maybe you just have to say what you mean what you say, but don't be mean about it.
Mm.
I don't think they're going to contact you. It may have to be you guys extending the olive branch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your mom's pretty kind about them to the extent she's saying, you know, she wishes, you know, she's not here to be a grandmother, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, do what you can, but again, just to learn what they can say and not say and what's their business and not their business and be a little strategic with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to cut them entirely out. Your mom saying, I don't know, you know, she just told you to cut your family member out, okay? So I think she,
yeah.
one way telling, cut that one out. They've already shown their 100% colors. But
right.
with these people, she's saying be a little bit more strategic.
Mm-hmm.
There's several reasons. You'll lose your, you know, your husband will lose his inheritance. Are you aware of that?
No.
I mean, they may cut everything out if you cut them out. And, you know, that's something that you might want to think about. And because that's money that could be for your children as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
They can be vengeful, these people, by the way.
Mm. Oh, yes, I know. And I know you have to go in a minute, but I just wanted to know about my career path.
Okay, but listen to what your mom's saying. Figure out an olive branch in a way that you can maybe have them in your life, but with boundaries drawn and limitations.
Yeah.
Okay. Career-wise, looks like, are you still doing the job from home, or that's gone?
It's a different job on my own time, but I started a business.
Oh, you did, but you're still from the home, but your own business?
Yeah, I mean, not literally, you know, I have to travel sometimes, but.
Okay, your own business looks like you should do very well, by the way.
Okay, good.
Put the time into it, and you're your own boss, and you have some flexible hours here.
Right.
Looks like the product that you have is very good, by the way.
Thank you.
So your career looks great. But mostly what you're being told is with your in-laws, figure it out a way if you could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure why your mother's so adamant about it, but she seems to be.
Mm.
You know, and again, it's just drawing healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe don't contact them for a couple of weeks or so.
Yeah, we let haven't it, been. We haven't
let
been
it just
all.
Kind of die down a bit. When's the next family holiday? When's the next family
Well,
birthday?
There's like an engagement party, but it's like you fight with one of them, you fight with three of them at the same time. So we don't even know if we're going to go.
Well, if it looks like they still want you to go, maybe that can be the event. You do the olive branch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll call in again in the next few weeks because your mom says some things are going to play out. So,
okay.
But, you know, actually your overall cards look good in terms of your career. So that, like, focus on that for the next month or two.
Okay.
Your in-laws aren't going anywhere. They'll probably force their way back in too. But
right.
when they do,
okay.
you want it to be at your on your terms.
Yeah, the key word there is force.
That's what I say. They're going to force their way back. So at that point, you know, you have some time to think about, you know, how much you're going to let them force their way in.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just a matter of we are different, you know, but it's like my mother-in-law, you give her an inch, she takes a mile. And I really tried, you know, all different kinds of ways and methods, but nothing really seems to work unless she is bulldozing the situation.
Wow. And she's not going to change.
Oh, absolutely not, you know, and it's just, it's getting to the point where it is, you know, we have our own children, we make our own decisions, and, you know, they have an issue with our godparents that we chose. So they decided to, you know, put a damper on the day and show up and be rude and informal. And, you know, we've been through a lot, my husband and I, you know. So it's just that kind of stuff that I'm losing my patience for, you know.
Right. And, again, they have no right to tell you that. So, you know, so just, you know, let this pass for a while, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And, see, your mother's going like this. This is when she doesn't miss life. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
you got to admit, up there it's a lot better. You only have to see people you want to see. Oh,
well,
she knows.
She knew. She knew my mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law did help her while she was sick, but she knows firsthand. Like, I mean, she literally said to me when she was alive, like, I get it. I understand now, you know.
Right, exactly.
So I'm curious about how it's going to go because I know I'm getting blamed for everything, but I don't want my husband, you know, cause I know what it's like to not have my family and I know what it's like to feel betrayed and I don't really want the same thing for him. At the same time, I feel like it's a one-way street with them.
Right. And it's also, it's just your mom saying that they're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Okay.
Right.
And leave it at that.
Right.
And leave it at that.
Right.
Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and we're going to be cut
thank
off any
you.
Minute. So thanks
okay.
for calling in. Let us know what happens. Nicole, thank you for doing a great job, by the way, as you always do. And
well, thank you very much, Cindy.
Seems to be the family dynamic sometimes, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It is not one family member. It's another one. You know?
We all have that one little section of family, don't we?
Oh, for sure. Well, thank you for joining us, and we'll all speak next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.